It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It was the year of Watergate, the kidnapping of Patricia Hearst. A first-class stamp cost just 10 cents. The Dow Jones, it was below 1,000. The price of a gallon of gas, about 50 cents. The year, 1974. Also in 1974, Raspberry Williams of Waterloo turned himself into authorities after shooting and killing a man outside a Waterloo pool hall, a crime he has maintained was in self-defense. Now, after nearly 40 years, Raspberry Williams will be released on parole. This week, the Iowa Parole Board ruled that Williams will be released to an assisted living facility here in Iowa. The move became possible after Governor Branstad commuted the 68-year-old Williams' life sentence last year, saying his record in prison has been extraordinary. In addition to mentoring other inmates, prison officials say Williams saved the life of two guards during a hostage situation in 1979. Joining me now, a woman who was just 8 years old when her father was incarcerated, Charletta Suddeth, the daughter of Raspberry Williams. Welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
I want to mention you are an early childhood coordinator at the Waterloo Community School District. How much of a surprise to you was the news of your father's release?
I would say that I was surprised and elated, and it was an answer to many, many years of prayers.
The Iowa Parole Board issued the decision Wednesday after a 20-minute video interview with your father and his supervisors at the North Central Correctional Facility in Rockwell City. You were able to watch this via closed-circuit TV?
Yes, I did.
What was the nature of the discussion? What were the concerns, the points were raised?
You know, just whether or not he would be able to acclimate himself, you know, in the introduction, as you said, postage stamps were 10 cents, now they're about 50 cents. And so at the time when he went into prison, culture was so different. And now, you know, here we are doing radio by telephone. We have cell phones in our hands. We're, you know, in a different day and time.
Were there any points raised about the killing itself, which your father maintains was in self-defense, remorse, or mention of the victim's family?
You know, he had recanted over and over again about remorse. This was not his first time before the parole board. There was mention, that he would not, maintain his distance from the family. And, I'm sure he'll follow that. And, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the victim's family was at a hearing earlier in the year. And, I'm so thankful to God that they have forgiven him and have pardoned him in their hearts. And that was just a blessing there.
Mm-hmm. This is the family of Lester Given, who
right.
was killed in 1974.
Yes.
They have given this blessing to this release.
Yes, they, went on public record saying that they had forgiven Raspberry and ultimately wished him well.
Describe the contact you've had over the years with your father while he's been incarcerated.
Various contact, through letters and seen him in person, of course.
Always at the prison?
Always. Never on the outside, I was just a young girl when he went in, 8 years old. So to speak, had lost my earthly king and prince at that time. So it's been a long road.
What did you do to keep up the relationship? How do you do that over 40 years nearly with your father?
My dad, very special man, in my young years he would call and, he would make me things, many of the items I still have, he would make me things. We would write letters, of course, and just try to, stay in contact as much as possible.
What do you expect to be the greatest challenges for your father? You mentioned technology. Times have changed tremendously in 40 years. Do you have sort of a plan to introduce your father to the world as it is today after almost sort of a time machine experience must be like?
you know, other than just try to receive him and embrace him with as much love as I possibly can, and, you know, guide him and take him around as, you know, he would wish. I was so thankful just to, he has a wonderful sense of humor, believe it or not, after all these years. And that was evident that day in the room there. And I'm just hoping that, you know, through love and support and his family, you know, we'd be able to guide him back into society.
Mm-hmm. In that room, you mean the video interview, the interview with the parole board?
Yes, he still showed some jovialness and some smiles, you know, after all these years. And, you know, even kind of laughed. You know, the last car he purchased was in 1974, and I thought to myself, wow, cars talk to you now.
I understand Governor Branstad sent people to interview you prior to your father's parole hearing. What were they most interested in?
You know, if you don't mind, I'd like to just take a moment here and just, again, give my gratitude to our honorable governor, Governor Branstad. I'm just so elated that he found favor in my father. They just basically asked me what I could remember of the incident, which I was very, very young. They, you know, asked me, you know, about, as you have, my relationship with my father over the years, you know, just some basic background questions. They wanted to know how my life had turned out, which I'm so grateful to God, you know, that I am not a statistic. As you know, you know, many times, you know, when a father's incarcerated, the child has a higher rate of being incarcerated. But, you know, I've been so blessed and fortunate. I've received my doctoral degree from the University of Northern Iowa, and I've been able to be a productive member of society, and they wanted to, you know about that and capture that.
Was it during those interviews when the governor's people interviewed you that you had the first glimmer of hope that this might actually come true, your father might be set free?
You know, that was kind of my first hope. I knew there were several hurdles that we had to get over. The first hurdle being the sentence commutated. You know, we mm-hmm. needed the governor to, you know, turn the life sentence into a number of years. And, you know, I will say I was hesitant at first. You know, Iowa has one of the highest disproportionate rates of African-American incarceration in the nation. And I was a little leery, but, you know, I continue to pray, keep the faith, and I'm just so pleased that, again, our governor was able to find favor in my father and go ahead and grant the first hurdle that we needed to get over.
Charletta, do you know when your father will be out on parole?
Here in the very near future. He does have some mobility issues, so they're looking for a placement, and we're just ready to welcome him back. You know, I said in one interview, you know, whether he'd want soul food or a porterhouse steak, whatever it would be, we're ready to do that for him. So we're looking forward to his release whenever they find the suitable assisted living arrangement.
Did he tell you his greatest wishes upon release?
Yes, he has. It's funny you would ask. He wants to spend time with his grandchildren, and we're just hopeful and excited that he'd be able to do that.
All right, Charletta Suddeth, daughter of Raspberry Williams, soon to be released on parole after serving a prison sentence for nearly 40 years. Charletta Suddeth, thank you very much, and we wish you all the best.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for your interest and your just positive impact on this life-changing story.